everyone, and welcome to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. We're live from the NovaCare Complex, as always, Monday through Friday, noon until 1 p.m. And we've got a great show for you today. Chip Kelly just meeting the media. We'll catch up with what he had to say. The Eagles preparing for the Oakland Raiders. A couple of great features today. The Eagles know they need to beat the Raiders' run game, and that means Darren McFadden, who is just so dangerous, running from that wildcat, or what the Raiders call the wild hog, I believe. I'm not sure what they call it, but they get the ball to McFadden, and he's dynamic. And the Raiders run the football, and they pound it. And Terrell Pryor is an elusive quarterback with a big arm, so the Eagles' defense, a big, big chore. We also take a look at this Eagles-Raiders rivalry. And then, is it not appropriate for Earl Wolf to be our guest in studio on this Halloween? Well, it certainly is, and he talks about his transition from North Carolina State to the NFL. Brian Baldinger stopped by from the NFL Network to discuss the Eagles at the midway point of this 2013 season. We also take your phone calls, your predictions in our last show of the week. Eagles need one here to start the second half off strong the way they did in the first half. All right, let's get you caught up with today's headlines because there are some things happening here, some injury situations that are fluid. DeSean Jackson yesterday showing up on the injury report with an ankle injury. A little bit of an alarm there, but Chip Kelly saying, do not worry about that. He will be okay. Jackson back on the practice field, and we'll take a look out of practice in just a couple of moments. Nick Foles on track to start Sunday, and Chip Kelly wants to see the young quarterback play with confidence and get out there and fire the football around. Throw it around. Throw with confidence. Throw with accuracy. Patrick Chung, when does he get back on the field? He's playing pretty well in practice, showing that he's got some, you know, some energy, the shoulder feeling okay. Kelly saying that they are, quote, hopeful that Chung plays on Sunday. That's something that sounds like a game day decision. And then the Eagles have 52 players on this roster. They have an open spot. And from Kelly's mouth to our graphic, team is working on the open roster spot. Earl Wolf, of course, coming up in studio. There is practice happening. We're taking a live look at it. The quarterbacks again in focus. Michael Vick saying yesterday that he feels he's a couple of weeks away from feeling healthy enough to get back on the field. Demaryius Johnson back in uniform today with the helmet on. That's a good sight. So the Eagles in pretty good shape from a health standpoint heading into this one against the Oakland Raiders. Now, this is a rivalry that has not been many games in the making, only 12 of them, at least 11 going into 12 on Sunday. We remember the big loss in Super Bowl 15. We remember the win earlier that year, the Eagles 10, the Raiders 7. We remember the pain of not beating Oakland in the Super Bowl. But there's a nastiness here. There's a rivalry here. It's not just on the field. It's the fans against the fans. We take a look at the Eagles and the Raiders in this week's Vantage Point.
He's walking to the Carmichael. Through contact. He's got a goal. Oh, took ahead of midfield. 45
minutes. Stop him again!
Not a lot of history between the Eagles and the Oakland Raiders because they haven't played that many times. In the early years, the Raiders, with their motto, a commitment to excellence, under their young, bright chief executive, Al Davis, were one of the great teams in the National Football League. But during that 1980 season, the Eagles beat the Oakland Raiders in a tight, low-scoring game at the Vet.
And you're thinking with the lead up to the Super Bowl in 80, all right, they beat them before. You know, they certainly can do it again. Not easy to beat teams twice, certainly. We know that with division teams.
And the Eagles entered Super Bowl 15 as the favorite.
Most people around the country thought that the Eagles had a big advantage. The Eagles were division champions, the Raiders were a wild card. The Eagles had a better record during the regular season than the Raiders did. The Eagles had beaten the Raiders during the regular season. So everybody's sort of tilting everything towards the Eagles. That's why the Eagles were favored.
So you get to the Super Bowl, and it was a situation where I think if Dick Vermeil could do it over again, he probably would have loosened the reins a little bit on the troops. And the Raiders, to their credit, Tom Flores, they did the exact opposite. They went out, they had fun, they played the game loose, and the Eagles played a tight game.
Ron Jaworski was picked off by Rod Martin early in the game. Raiders marched downfield, one touchdown pass from Plunkett to Kenny King. Plunkett was the MVP of that game. He had a tremendous game.
The thing that I think about most of all is how the Eagles just didn't look like themselves that day. I mean, a team that had played with tremendous fire and passion and emotion all season just came out flat and was never really in the game. And to this day, I really believe, and this sounds like an excuse, it probably sounds like a cop-out, I think emotionally the Eagles played their Super Bowl against the Cowboys.
Yeah, in 05 against the Raiders, David Akers, early in the game, opening kickoff, pulls a hamstring, and he's limping around the entire rest of the game.
Not a very deep kick, but as soon as David Akers kicks the ball, he reaches back and grabs that hamstring, and he starts to limp up the field, and then slowly limps off of the field.
The thing I remember is Mike Bartram kicking the ball and Mark Cimino kicking the ball.
But in the end, David Akers hobbles back onto the field.
This is the stuff that folk heroes are made of.
To try a winning field goal. And it reminded me of Willis Reed back in the old Knicks days, coming out, dragging the leg, winning a championship. But David Akers was able to somehow get the ball through the uprights late in the game to win the football game.
Here we go. Hold your breath. The ball is spotted. The kick is up. It's gone!
Yep, it's not Willis Reed in the finals. It's not T.O. in the Super Bowl, but it's a huge kick, and David Akers capping this thing off with just 9 seconds left on the clock.
Well, there you go. The last time the Eagles played against the Raiders, 2009 in Oakland, the Raiders dominating Donovan McNabb and the Eagles offense. So hopefully this time Nick Foles has more productivity against a good Oakland Raiders D. Now, the Eagles defense, they know what they've got to do. It starts with the quarterback Terrell Pryor, the running game with Darren McFadden, both of whom we will visit with later in the show. When we return, Earl Wolf, rookie safety, comes into the studio. He's made some major strides in a short period of time in the NFL. Looking forward to that conversation. So stay with us. It's Eagles Live. We return in just a moment.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Get him, get him.
Oh!
Oh,
hold on,
oh. Oh. Oh my God.
Hey, there's someone coming around this corner. Light him up.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
That gotta hurt. Where you at, Mike? Where you at, Mike? Oh, rapid fire.
If they didn't have that protection on, it'd be
It would be bad for them. Great time.
Hi, I'm the Halloween Wolf.
Earl Wolf joins me in studio. Dave Spadaro here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And it is, of course, Halloween. So
yes, sir.
You were appropriately dressed in our cartoon last week. Did you go out for Halloween a lot when you were a kid?
I did. Growing up, I did. Every year I went.
Good times.
I went to a lot of different places.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, now you're all grown up, Earl.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing in the NFL how, I mean, it really, you have to grow up very quickly, don't you?
You do. You really do.
What's the hardest part?
The hardest part, I would say, it would be like not depending on anybody else. Because in college, you have most of the time you have roommates. You know, you have guys there all the time. And you're pretty close with those guys because most of those guys you've been with for 3 and 4 years. And you come here, you know, most of the time you live by yourself. You don't have nobody to depend on, nobody to really talk to as much as you want to. Have people around. That's why I moved my brother up here with me.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I did. Because my brother, he was about to just move back to basically North Carolina. I told him, like, hey, man, just come live with me. I don't like being by myself. I was by myself probably 3 days, and
You were lonely, weren't you?
Yeah, I was real lonely.
What period of time was that? Was that when OTAs first started or when the rookie camp was going on before the before OTAs even began?
No, that was a preseason. That was, like, toward the end of preseason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, because really the life you lead is you get here early in the morning. You work all day, and by the time you get out of here, I know you're exhausted because that's just the way it is. And so you go back to your place, and I'm sure you haven't spent a whole lot of time buying the plants and putting up stuff on the wall and making it homey. So I get it, man. Watch a lot of TV?
Yeah, I don't watch too much TV, honestly. And my aunt and my uncle, luckily, I thank God for allowing me to be here where my family is.
Yeah.
Because I remember our first game when we went away. They decorated for me. Like, they came to my house, basically, I paid for it. Like, they just went out, bought some stuff, I paid them back for it. They set everything up, for the first 2 weeks. So when I came back, everything was finished.
That's great.
So I didn't have to worry about a lot.
It really, and what people have to understand, it does take a lot of all the excess stuff off your mind so that you can concentrate on your full-time job. How is the full-time job going, Earl? You're playing well. You seem to be getting better every week. Do you feel that way, too?
Yes, I do. I feel like I'm getting better, and I feel like it's not just really getting better. It's like I'm learning. I'm becoming more confident. Being out there on the field and getting that experience. Those reps are different than getting mental reps on the sideline. Just being out there on the field. The preseason helped me a lot. And then as the game started, Coach Kelly, started kind of easing me in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I just got a starting job, I'm just getting more confident and more confident each game, which is allowing, my play to basically become better and better.
So let's go back to when you were 17 years old, let's say. All right, you're watching TV. You're watching an NFL game on television. Then you get out onto an NFL field. Compare the speed of what fans watch on TV versus the actual speed and what it feels like when you're on the field.
I tell my family all the time because most of my family is military. Like, my stepbrother, he just got out in the Marines. My other stepbrother, he's in the Navy. And my mom is in the National Guard. I tell them all the time, being in those trenches, like, when I have to walk down to the box,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm in war.
Really?
Yes, because those guys.
That much is going on around you,
is that much going around you, And especially, up there, being up there with the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, the linebackers, is pretty rough in there, that's. I would say that would be the toughest part.
Are there a lot of voices going on when you're up in the box? Are you hearing O linemen shouting stuff out, and then you guys are making your checks? Is there a lot of voices that are going through your head? And you're like, who said what? at first?
Yeah, because in practice, even though we play the music, it's still different than being out there on the game. You mm-hmm. know, we play the music, to kind of get used to this, to the noise, so we can make our calls loud, make our give hand signals. But in the game, it's just different regardless. It's a whole lot different. And basically, when you're in there, you hear, like you see it. But the thing is, because with every motion and shift, we have to make a change. So, and thing is, I try to lock in before the play, so it's kind of difficult to lock in when, he shifts, you're like, oh, man, I got to do this. So it's, but now I'm catching up with myself, and I feel like I'm doing pretty well.
And the fact that you're catching up mentally has allowed you to play faster physically, I'm sure, right?
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Sir.
So I wonder, you know, has it been a gradual thing, Earl? Have you been more patient than maybe any time in your life? Because when you play football as a kid, you go out and just be a better athlete. And when you play in high school, you go out and you be a better athlete. Exactly. In college, you certainly have to learn some things, but still a lot of it's athletic ability. Here, every one of you is a great athlete.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to, you know, you being basically you being able to go out there, you know, make the signals, make the calls, you know, make the adjustments, you know, make sure you're in the right leverage each and every play. And that's what I had to get used to. Because sometimes, you know, I would make the right call, but I would be – like my leverage would be wrong, you know, they might run a slant, I'm outside leverage. It's those little things that count the most in this level.
Hey, was there a welcome to the NFL moment for you?
Welcome to the NFL moment. Are we talking
like did you get trucked? Not like a hazing thing. Did you think you had a position on somebody and he turned you around just because you were leaning one way and he saw that and do you recall anything that said, wow, whoo, I'm in the big leagues here?
The first time I said that is when we played the Chiefs and I came on that blitz. And Jamal Charles is right there. I'm thinking, like, oh, he's 205 pounds. And I just can run by him, you know, my speed, or maybe, you know, just give him a little shoulder and get to the quarterback. Because I saw Alex Smith at, like, his top shoulder kind of outside. So the first thing I said, so as soon as I blitz, I'm running, and I see Alex Smith. I'm like, oh, I'm about to get a sack, my first sack. And out of nowhere, I just feel his shoulder pad, his helmet kind of right here on my chest. And I saw the sky, and I saw the stands, then I saw the ground. So,
And then you better get your butt up off the ground and get back in the huddle because nobody's there shedding a tear for you or saying, oh, that's okay, Earl.
Yeah.
This is the NFL. Do you have any doubt, Earl, that you know, this is getting better and better and you're getting stronger and you're learning that you're going to be a great NFL player? Do you feel it?
Yes, sir. I know I'm going to be a great NFL player, and I refuse to be anything less than great. My work ethic is off the charts. I feel like I'm putting everything together. You know, as a rookie, they expect you to make, you know, those rookie mistakes, you know, but I'm real hard on myself. For example, last game, you know, coach said, you know, you played okay, you know, but it's still great. It's still kind of saying that as a rookie. To me, I didn't play well, and that's the way I look at it. And I'm only get better. And honestly, in all the other games, for example, Dallas game, I feel like I played pretty good, but I know I can get better. And until I'm perfect, I won't settle. When you're never gonna be perfect in a game.
Hey man, you got praise from a coach. That doesn't happen very often, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't give you much positive feedback. They basically say, here's the mistakes you made. Improve on those mistakes. Don't make those mistakes again.
Exactly.
Earl Wolf, what's the reason for this defense playing so much better the last few weeks?
Just those little details, man. Coach Davis, every day we have a teach period, and in that teach period, Coach Davis kind of explains the little things, you know, because everybody knows, okay, you're down in the box, you have seam flat, you have curl flat, you know, you have those, but thing is, it's still more to that, you know, like I said, it's those little things like, for example, if you get a certain route combination, you still, like, even though you're playing this, you still have to be here. And it was those little things. And I feel like each and every day of practice, you know, we've gotten better at it. We've, you know, as I would say our chemistry has gotten, you know, a lot better. And that's just with us being around each other more. And now we know where other guys, well, certain guys are fitting, so we can fit there. It's, like I said, it's just those little things. And I feel like every week we're going to continue to get better.
What's Terrell Pryor look like to you when you watch him on film?
A big athlete, man. My first time meeting Terrell Pryor was When I was training in Florida, was in January. And first time I seen him, I thought he was a defensive end.
Yeah, I know. He's gigantic, right? He's like 6'6", right?
Yes, he's a real big guy. He's a real big guy, real good athlete. He can throw the deep ball, you know, as good as anybody in this league. And, you know, we're preparing for him.
Yeah, well, go get him, man. Earl Wolf, thanks, man. Great stuff so far. Have a great rest of your rookie season and many more to come.
Yes, sir.
The Halloween Wolf, Earl Wolf, joins us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Complete over the middle. Tripped up at the 40. Nice pass and a big first down for the Spartans. Nice job of the rush by
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
I used to watch his films in college before my games, like watch clips, you know, the Weapon X clip. I used to watch that. I watched that probably about 50 times. I used to watch it, man, and I said, it's not just the passion and the energy, man. It was there. And you could see the whole team feeding off of it. And that's the guy I was at NC State, and honestly, that's the guy I'm trying to be here now. And if I met him as a person, it was even better, man. Like, wow, look what type of guy he is, man.
It's lunchtime, and that means it's time for Amoroso's On the Menu feature. And we've got a great recipe for you this week. It's called the Hail Mary. And check out this sandwich. It is a beauty. You start, of course, with the Amoroso's rolls, and that makes a sandwich. But it's also grilled chicken breast, diced tomatoes, shredded lettuce, little bit of teriyaki sauce. Dice the tomatoes, shred the lettuce, toss the chicken, tomatoes, and lettuce, and the teriyaki sauce. Place the ingredients in those delicious Amoroso's Italian rolls. You could also toast the sandwich. It makes four sandwiches, and it is mouthwatering, not only for me right here at lunch, but for you as you get ready to figure out what you're going to eat when you watch the Eagles play the Raiders this weekend, or maybe you're going to go out to Oakland and do a little tailgating of your own. Vote for your favorite recipe of the month. Our Amoroso's Combine is taking place in 2014, and just by casting a vote, you could win a chance to attend at the NovaCare Complex in 2014, the Amoroso's Combine. Just check it out in our fan zone on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. As I eat the sandwich, we're going to get back to a little football here, and Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell in our pre-snap read talk about the interior of the Eagles' defense, the inside linebackers, D'Amico Ryans, Michael Kendricks, a 3-4. What are their responsibilities versus those who play the pure middle linebacker position in a 4-3? Let's check it out, the pre-snap read.
94 down, 51 white. White 20! White 27!
Hello again, and welcome everyone to pre-snap read, where we go inside the trends inside the National Football League through the All-22 tape. And to do it, we've got our professor of the coaching tape, the one and only from NFL Films, senior producer Greg Cosell. Greg, welcome to week number 9.
That's crazy. Week 9.
This season is going fast out. When we look at these trends here, we've talked about just about every position on defense, but the one position that we haven't talked about is what we call the quarterback position on defense, the middle linebacker. And Greg, for many years, you know, there was a thought at middle linebacker, oh, you got to have the guy who's very smart, not all that athletic. But to me, Greg, the game has changed. What would you define as today's middle linebacker?
Well, first of all, the 4-3 defense where there's a true middle linebacker, fewer and fewer teams are playing a 4-3 defense.
That's right.
So there's not your traditional quarterback of the defense, the middle linebacker. Now, there are some, and they're really good. I mean, Luke Kuechly in Carolina is an outstanding three-down middle linebacker. Now that Dallas is playing a 4-3, you have Sean Lee, who's an outstanding middle linebacker. Now, these are guys who could play in any system. They could play in a 4-3 or a 3-4. But then you look at the 3-4 teams, and the reason the 3-4 linebackers are more important now is because of the nature of the passing games in the NFL. You need quicker, better athletes on the field, so you're replacing a 300-pound defensive tackle with a linebacker. So you look at a team like the San Francisco 49ers, the prototype for the 3-4 inside linebackers with Navarro Bowman and with Patrick Willis. Athletic, Willis is 245 and he can move. Bowman, he's only 230, 235. You know, Lavonte David is an outside linebacker in the NFL for Tampa, and he's 230 pounds. So the linebacker position as a whole is changing, particularly the inside stacked backers.
Yeah, and what I find also interesting is when you talk to personnel executives around the league, they really think of bonuses. If you could find that one guy could rush, like Michael Kendricks, who we know had double-digit sacks at Cal, Lawrence Timmons, you just don't find a lot of guys. When you watch tape,
yeah,
you see those inside linebackers who could rush?
Well, what in the 3-4, what they do is they develop schemes like the Fire X inside blitz, where the two inside linebackers in a 3-4 will cross like an X, hence to the name, and they will both blitz. But Kendricks is a fascinating case study because Kendricks is small. He's 5'11", 5'11 and a half. He weighs less than 240. You would never envision him as a middle linebacker in a 4-3. He'd be viewed as way too small. But he can play inside linebacker, the weak side inside linebacker position, in a 3-4 defense, very similar to what Lawrence Timmons plays in Pittsburgh. They're both terrific athletes because you need speed, movement, athleticism at that position in today's NFL.
And Greg, when you talk about Michael Kendricks, last week's game is a great example because when I watched McCall, the thing that I like is he's so fast. You saw last week, the thing that I think he's improved in really since early in the season, he sheds. He gets rid of the blockers a lot better than he did earlier in his career. And quite frankly, to me, that's the missing element of his game. If he could be more physical, which he is, and he did, he could be a better football player.
Well, the other thing that I think has really stood out to me watching him on film that he's improved greatly is just his general awareness. A lot of people use the word instincts. I often use play recognition. I think he's a guy that as he's playing more and more and getting used to playing where he is, don't forget, this is a new defense this year. He's a 3-4 inside linebacker now, that he's had to learn as he's playing. And I think he's been getting better and better every week in his understanding of what he's seeing based on personnel, based on formations, and therefore his athleticism is coming more to the forefront.
And it's interesting, if you remember, Greg, going back to last season, he played the weak side,
yep,
played the strong side. Now he's playing inside. That's a lot for a young guy in his second year to learn, but he's doing a good job of improving each week. No question about it. So for Greg Cosell, I'm Adam Kaplan. Stay tuned here for more at PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
24 down, 51 white. White 20. White 20.
Thank you very much, Adam and Greg. Good stuff there. The Eagles getting some very, very strong play from Ryans and Kendricks. And their responsibilities on Sunday will be outstanding with Pryor, McFadden, and a really dedicated run game. The Raiders are going to run it, and they're going to keep running it, and they're going to put Pryor in moving positions, and they're going to try to give him some high percentage throws and take a shot or two down the field. So Eagles must stop the run. We take some phone calls now. 215-339-6709. Your predictions, your thoughts. The Eagles with Nick Foles at the quarterback position out on the practice field today, getting ready for the Raiders on Sunday. Let's go to New York and talk to the Zumpster, Zumpy, Mr. Zumploticus. Yes, Mr. Zumploticus, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, happy Halloween to you and your coworkers, my brother.
Thank you. You too. I'm glad to hear you're back and energetic.
I mean, listen, there's nothing you could do. You know what I'm saying? Life goes on. You know, we all love and support the birds. I can't let it control my life when they lose. You know what I'm saying? If they lose, I got to put it behind in the rearview mirror and just, you know, stay positive. I'm going to try this. You know what I mean?
That's right. You look ahead, you look at number 9 on the practice field. Your thoughts, your expectations on Sunday?
I really do like Nick Foles. He's been given chances. He's only a second-year guy. You know, he's had opportunities to try to win the job. He's come up a little short, but he's also played well, in my opinion. He's still developing. I think he's a bright kid. I think he's a very accurate quarterback. Till this day, I'm still figuring out what the hell happened in that Dallas game. I mean, everybody's entitled to a bad game, but I still think it's way too premature to say, oh, Nick Foles is, you know, is staying for this and that. You know, you give him a chance, but he's a smart quarterback. He'll bounce back. But I just wanted to say, I think this Oakland Raiders team is going to be a very tough game.
Yes.
Going to Oakland, playing in Oakland is very tough. And I just think that they're a nasty football team. They got a good defensive line. They're going to attack us. To me, in my opinion, I really believe that the line of scrimmage, that's where the game is going to be won. I mean, that's every game. But
every game.
Yeah, but in particular, this game, I think we have to dominate. If we dominate the line of scrimmage, we're going to be able to run the ball. We're going to be able to throw the ball. I'm really looking forward to see how this offensive line backs up. They haven't been playing well in the last couple of weeks, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's been a little bit unusual to see that there's been some struggles there, and it was an area that we all thought was going to be the strength of the team, and and just great. But the line has been up and down. There's no question about it.
I kind of wish to see, oh, I wish we had an injury to make understand, like, what's going on here. We have a full, you know what I mean, offensive line. Nobody, you know, Peters, Masters, Kelsey. And it's like, you know, I mean, Lane Johnson, I think, he's progressing. He's had his downfall, but he's progressing. But I don't know. I want us to dominate, man. And I think this offensive line can. It's just they got to show up on game day, man.
I'm with you, Zomper. Give me a prediction.
I'm going to say, let's hope, 24-23 Birds, close game.
All right, Zombie. Make sure you tune in.
What do you need? You want to?
I say make sure you tune into the game.
Of course. I'm going to turn into the game, man. All you right. know this.
I know.
Let me give an Eagles chant, man.
Please do.
Okay. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, let's go, Birds, baby.
Thank you, Zombie.
All right, take care, baby.
I love it. Love the enthusiasm. Have a happy Halloween to you. That's not an act. That is the Zomster. All right, the game plan show is something that we love, part of the Eagles Television Network lineup of shows. And today we take a look at Darren McFadden with analysts Brian Baldinger and Ike Reese. Darren McFadden, number 20, right in the crosshairs for this Eagles defense.
Ike, when I look at the Oakland Raiders offense, I mean, with Terrell Pryor quarterback, you're capable, and we may see anything in the backfield. We may see wing T, pistol. We're going to see every formation right now that we see in college football.
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly an offense that wants to rely upon the run, whether it's Pryor at the quarterback position or the former number four overall pick in Darren McFadden, who we're going to take a look at here.
Well, this is just read option right here. Out of a two-back set, Marcel Reese is the fullback on the other side of Pryor, but right now, really, this man had the pitch right here, so they're a man short in the box, and McFadden got it, and, you know, the C's opened up, and one thing that we know about Darren McFadden, he's got great straight-ahead speed. I mean, they're going to read that man out there, and so that's what Pryor is reading right now. All these guys looking for him to keep the ball, so it opens things up in the middle. So, really, the Eagles' defense, you better have your assignment football down this week.
And that's real key right there, Baldy. Assignment football, pre-snap read, the linebackers are going to have to do a great job of keying in on the fullback. The difference they do with their read option is they put the fullback in the backfield as well. So the play fakes are a little harder to dissect at times, and Oakland likes to use a lot of deception with their play action. So it's going to be key for our linebackers to stay focused here.
With this right here, there's a lot of misdirection here, Ike. I mean, you would think that you're going to follow the fullback here when this is a windback the other way. So your eyes have to be in the right spot right now. Sometimes you read your keys, it's going to take you away from the football. And really, that time, you know, McFadden makes a cutback, pretty good run on his own right there, a little bit like Shady McCoy coming back the outside.
Yeah, and that's a play there where I'm looking at our front seven, mm-hmm. and we're going to have to be gap sound for plays such as that. McFadden does have a little bit of the ability to cut back. Not as good as Shady, mm-hmm. but he does have the ability to go back during.
Let's take a look at this play right now because the Steelers certainly were fooled on this one. Again, you know, keep your eye here on Marcel Reese because he's a very good receiver, but he also can give you a different key right now. So you got two backs in the backfield. Here he is coming on the backside right here, going to get himself, you know, a nice lead block, getting to the corner. And the Steelers had a hard time stopping this running attack of the Oakland Raiders last week.
And don't underestimate that lead block here. I mean, look at the size of Marcel Reese. You're talking about a guy that's 6'5", 260 plus pounds, and is a very good athlete blocking for Darren McFadden.
Now, this is what McFadden did at Arkansas back in college 6 years ago. I mean, he was in a Wildcat a lot. He also can throw it now, Ike. I've seen him throw it when he was at Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
But right here, I mean, the Steelers right now, they're all loaded up to stop the Wildcat, but this is a guy that he's calling the signals right now. He's got his foot up. Now he's just getting on, see a little fake pass right here, freezes Woodley on the outside right now with it, but he gets him to honor that fake, and now he cuts it back inside, and it's another way to get another run to keep them on schedule and put the ball in McFadden's hands.
Yeah, you know, Oakland, they just don't have the ability, the talent level, to line up and just beat people. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to use some deception, the read option. They're going to try to get the ball in their best playmaker's hands, mm-hmm. and that's typically Darren McFadden or Terrell Pryor. The Eagles are going to have to be gap sound disciplined this week and tackle when they get a chance to wrap Darren McFadden up.
Show, 12:05 a.m. on Saturday night. 11:30 a.m. game day, Sunday, on 6ABC in Philadelphia. And, of course, always available to you on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's get back to the telephones. Jimmy in Maryland joins us. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
All right, man. I'm excited. Got to get a win on the road on Sunday.
We need it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I was curious.
Yes.
Do Chip Kelly ever spy?
Would he ever spy?
Yeah.
With a defensive player?
Well, prior.
I think you probably certainly consider it, yes.
Have we done it previously?
He has not done it there. You know, RG3 wasn't a mobile threat back in week one, and they really haven't had a quarterback with that kind of mobility since. So this is an interesting time to look. Will Bill Davis at times use a spy on Pryor?
Oh, okay.
And I wouldn't be surprised to see it.
But if we can stop Pryor and McFadden, I think we got to pretty much win.
Well, more importantly to me, are they going to load the box? Are you going to put eight players in the box? Are you going to let Terrell Pryor try to beat you with his arm rather than his legs? He's an explosive player with his legs, but you certainly don't want to give up over the top on play action. I think it's a big chore for the Eagles defense, a really interesting challenge for them. The Raiders, though, the offensive line hasn't played that great for them, so great chance for the Eagles defensive line to win the battle up front.
Hmm. Okay.
How about, give me a prediction, Jimmy.
Let's see. I know we're going to score, so I'll say about 30 to 24.
30 to 24.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, have a good one, Dave.
Let's get this offense going again. You too. Have a good one yourself. Thanks for calling, Jimmy. Eagles haven't had a lot of points. We would love to see 30 points scored in this game on Sunday, the first of two on the road. All right, when we return to Eagles Live, Brian Baldinger, NFL analyst, NFL Network, game plan show, you just saw him. Stopped by the studio, go heart to heart. Eagles, what's going on with this football team at 3-5? Baldy checks in. So it's kind of Baldy talking to Baldy, you get it? We're coming right back. It's Eagles Live in just a moment.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more championship. Let's go.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
You know, one of the good things about the athleticism of these guys up front, and it just starts with Coach Az and coaching these guys, but it's just how hard they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a normal stunt game where tackles up the field and this guy wraps around. But when you watch how hard Vinny is attacking, a lot of times one guy's a penetrator and one guy's a looper. Usually the penetrator is giving himself up
right,
so that the looper comes clean. That's not a lot of fun from that position.
No.
We're joined inside the studio by Brian Baldinger, NFL Network. Dave Spadaro here. Brian, let's talk offense, because the Eagles offense a couple of weeks ago, rocking and rolling, multifaceted, explosive in the run game, pass game down the field. What's happened?
I think it's just the plays are good, Dave. I mean, really, they're getting the ball in the right situation. It's all about numbers. So They got a wide bunch formation last week, and they're throwing these bubble screens to DeSean Jackson. And really, DeSean, I mean, he hasn't run a lot of these plays before this year. But really, these plays, there's a way to run them. They're being blocked well. It's the right call. It's the right throw. I mean, there's more yards to be made than what they're getting right now.
So DeSean Jackson may be hesitant. LeSean McCoy certainly has been hesitant in the run game. Mm-hmm. How do you coach them out of that?
Well, I think you just have to go back to the film room and show them. Show them the way the play is being blocked, what's on the field. You can't be breaking it down and stutter-stepping when you get the ball in your hands. And this is you have to really put your track shoes on and just go. Just take off and trust it. Whether it's Shady, whether it's DeSean, these are their big play guys, and they were making big chunk plays the first 6 weeks. They're still there to be made. They just have to trust it.
Brian, is it unfair to kind of make any sort of read with what Chip's doing offensively, given that there have been three quarterbacks who've played in the first eight games?
Of course. I mean, you can only really – it's hard to develop a quarterback as the season's going on. That's what you're asking Matt Barkley to do, you know, the last couple of weeks, is to be an NFL quarterback with really no practice time, no playing time, and developing him. The speed is different on Sundays than it was on Saturdays. If you don't get a chance to run these plays and really rep them, you're not as sure and as confident as you want to be when you get a chance to make them.
Nick Foles in line to start on Sunday, first start in a couple of weeks. He explained his poor performance against the Cowboys to mechanics. And so there's a breakdown there. Mm-hmm. What did you see when you watched that game? And then to get from that level to back to where Nick was prior, what has to happen?
Well, you have to have a short-term memory. So, you know, you got to have amnesia and you got to flush it. Because we've certainly seen him make all the plays that he didn't make 2 weeks ago against Dallas. And so, really, what I saw was the hesitancy was it looked like he was afraid to make a mistake. And, you know, in a close ball game like it was, you don't want to make that mistake. But at the same time, you have to be aggressive. And when the plays are there to be made, what we saw against the Giants and against Tampa was no hesitancy. Just cut it loose. And I think that's probably what he has to say to himself is trust the offense, trust your eyes, and then go make the play, because he has certainly done that.
Defense has made some great strides here. Mm-hmm. Challenge this week is Terrell Pryor, the big arm, the mobility. What's Bill Davis' game plan going to be?
Well, I mean, it's totally different than anything we've seen. Even week one against the Washington Redskins in RG3, he wasn't full speed. This guy, he's their best chance offensively, and he is a playmaker. Doesn't always make the right decision. But he's growing with confidence right now. He is a tremendous athlete, and really, he has all the skills. I mean, he can challenge you deep because he's got a big arm. First play of the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, he went 93 yards for a touchdown. He's a big play threat, and so the play is never over with this guy. He's always looking to rescue a play, to extend a play. So it's got to be 60 minutes of football, you know, every single play.
Yeah, Brian, last one here. A win gets the Eagles right back into the thick of things here. I mean, they're only one game down in the NFC East. How big would it be from a confidence standpoint in the locker room?
Well, it would be a fun ride home. I mean, it's a 5-hour ride home, Dave. And anytime you win this league, wins are scarce right now. But really, every win gives you the reason for confidence. The Raiders are a very competitive team. The Steelers found that out last week. Everybody's found that out. Like, they have been in every game. They were in against Kansas City. They were in against Indianapolis. Into the third quarter, scores tied with the lead. They compete against everyone. They beat the San Diego Chargers. This team has a lot of talent, and they play hard. When you can beat a team that plays as hard as the Raiders does, I think it gives you confidence.
Yeah. Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, we thank you very much.
Yeah, Dave.
For joining us in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Ugh. Why does she pack these things? I ate one by accident last time. And we won. It's good luck. But it tastes like a dirty old tree branch. What the heck is Quino? But this is for first place.
What is that, a loofah?
It's a Quino.
Bud Light, for the fans who do whatever it takes.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
Today, many hospitals seem to claim they're the best in their areas. But in this region, it's nearly impossible to match the experience of the physicians and nurses of Jefferson Hospital for Neuroscience. With specialized critical care units and advanced technology, it's the region's only hospital totally dedicated to neurosurgery and neurology.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. It's Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Yesterday, we started our campaign, and we are continuing it today. Follow at Eagles Shows on Twitter. Trying to get that number to 1,000 followers. We're at about 940, 942 right now, so we're keeping track. Once we get to 1,000, we will pick out at random a winner and send you an autographed piece of merchandise. It will not be from Katie Tang, who oversees at Eagles Shows on Twitter, and she does a marvelous job. It will be from an Eagles player, somebody from the locker room, a nice piece of merchandise for you. So follow us on Twitter at Eagles Shows. Now, the Eagles play a couple of road games here. Interesting part of the schedule for Philadelphia. So let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule, presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster, for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFL.com/Ticket Exchange. The Raiders, of course, on Sunday, followed by another road trip, this time to Lambeau Field, and the Green Bay Packers. Great test for the Eagles defense in that one. And then it's home with the rematch against Robert Griffin III and the Washington Redskins. What will the NFC East look like at that time? And then a bye week for the Eagles. Time to rest up and get charged and ready for December. Five games in December, three of them at home. Arizona, Detroit, Chicago at home, road game in Minnesota, and then that finale at Texas Stadium. That's going to be a wild one. Will that mean something in the NFC East? Currently, of course, the Cowboys have a one-game lead over your Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East. We're taking your phone calls today, 215-339-6709, as the Eagles get ready for the Oakland Raiders, with Nick Foles leading the way at the quarterback position. Michael Vick still at least a couple of weeks away. Foles will meet the media after practice today, so make sure you tune in for that right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Now I know that you are getting ready for your fantasy football weekend. It begins tonight when the Bengals and the Dolphins play. So let's throw it over to Joe Dolan, FantasyGuru.com, getting you all ready for what's ahead in the world of fantasy football.
Welcome inside once again, another edition of the Fantasy Spin here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Bo Wolf. That is Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com. And Joe, let's talk about this Eagles offense for the first 6 weeks. One of the best fantasy offenses, best offenses in the entire league over the last 2 weeks. Only 3 points offensively. If you are a guy with LeSean McCoy or DeSean Jackson or Michael Vick or Nick Foles, how do you feel about the Eagles' offense moving forward?
Well, Bo, I'm not totally freaking out just yet because I think the opportunities have been there the last couple weeks. They just haven't taken advantage of the opportunities. And whether it was Nick Foles, whether it was Michael Vick, whether it was Matt Barkley, I think there are some plays that are being missed both by the quarterbacks and also the running backs. I think you saw LeSean McCoy admit that he thinks he's been dancing a little bit too much. And I think the opportunities are still going to be there, and I think the Eagles are still going to snap out of this funk. Now, this is a good opportunity for Nick Foles. While they're on the road in the black hole, I think the Raiders' secondary is a beatable one. So if the Eagles can protect Foles and he can really settle down and make some throws that he knows he can make, I think the Eagles are going to put up points in this game.
Obviously, if you have Shady, you're starting him. If you have DeSean, you're probably starting him as well. But this is a tough week bye-wise. Would you start Nick Foles?
I think you can consider it. And I know it's rough coming off of a bad game against the Cowboys, but when you think about it, Nick Foles had looked better than that in just about every appearance he had made in the National Football League up until that point. So I'm more inclined to treat it as just a bad game for Nick Foles and for the Philadelphia Eagle offense. I think the Eagles are going to snap out of this. Now, does that mean I think they're going to put up 45 points on the Oakland Raiders? No, it doesn't. Oakland's a notoriously difficult place to play. And I think the run game is going to be a big issue for the Eagles because defenses have been creeping closer to the line of scrimmage. LeSean McCoy made those comments this week. But I think it would be a good time for the Eagles to start utilizing more of those pop and wheel routes from the tight ends, get them a little bit more involved, because while Celek and Ertz have been getting their catches, I don't think either one of them has put up the fantasy numbers that we would have hoped. I would think this is a good week, though, Bo, to get things going from the tight ends and the short to intermediate pass game to get Nick Foles comfortable.
Strength of that Raiders defense is the run defense, so hopefully there are some plays to be made for the Eagles receivers against Oakland. Now, we talked about it. This is a tough week for fantasy owners. The Broncos, the Lions, the Niners all on bye, so you could be looking for some real last-minute fill-ins for your starting lineup. Right. Let's go position by position. Give me a quarterback who you think could be just a pinch and play guy.
Well, Bo, I think a guy that you can consider on the lower end, especially if you've got a guy like Peyton Manning who's on bye this week, how about Josh McCown of the Chicago Bears? Now, the Green Bay Packers, I think, have been playing pretty well defensively, despite the fact that they've had some big injuries at the pass rushing positions. But they are also scoring points. And right now, the Bears, to me, are a team that has a defense with a reputation and little more. So I think the Packers are going to score, which means, as we call it in fantasy, GTP, garbage time production. I think Josh McCown is a heady veteran who can get the ball to his receivers. He has three good ones. He has Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and he's got the tight end Martellus Bennett. He's got Matt Forte as a checkdown option. So I think the Bears have some weapons that can make Josh McCown fantasy relevant this week.
At running back, you like Daryl Richardson, even though Zach Stacy has been the guy recently.
Well, Stacy, as you know, is dealing with that ankle injury. So even if he goes this week, I was pretty impressed with the way Daryl Richardson looked in a reserve role against Seattle last week. Now, Stacy looked great against the Seahawks as well. But the one thing that you also have to consider is Daryl Richardson rotating into that backfield. I thought he looked pretty good as a third down option. So if you're really hurting for a flex, a guy who might get third down work, might get some receptions, I think Daryl Richardson could be a way to go.
Hey, Eagles fans, the weather is cold out there. It's time to get your gear in order. Let's do it. The Eagles Pro Shop right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and at Lincoln Financial Field has you covered head to toe and then some with the greatest Eagles gear anywhere. Keep you warm through the winter and have you looking stylish and representing your Philadelphia Eagles. So make sure you shop online here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Pro Shop at Lincoln Financial Field and all the other shops that we have sprinkled around the area in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and Lancaster at the outlets there. Anywhere you want, you've got your Eagles gear. Chip Kelly saying, yeah, come on here. So let's get a phone call. He's calling you, Nyla. Nyla in Atlanta joining us. Hi, Nyla.
What's going on, Dave?
How's everything?
Going good.
Good, thank you. Good, good, good. Okay.
You know, I'm just calling in to get my prediction
yes.
for the week.
Fire away.
Okay, it's going to be 24-10, so my defense is going to get better. I'm going to get a little confidence in my offense.
Yeah.
24-10.
All right.
We're going to do it.
You're feeling good about Nick Foles, right?
Yeah, feeling good.
I like that. All right. Nyla, thank you.
You no problem. You know, I got to call and go Eagles.
You got it, baby. Thanks. Nyla from Atlanta joining us once again. And Chip even laughed at that. I think we've piped out Eagles Live to the practice field. And so they're listening to everything we say. No, that's just a joke. They've got all the music out there. Getting ready for a hostile environment in Oakland should be really entertaining to see the Raiders fans mixing with what I expect to be, again, a large contingent of Eagles fans supporting this team on the road. Now the Eagles, understandably, have some concerns from a health standpoint, and they respect the Oakland Raiders very, very much. Chip Kelly meeting the media a short time ago, and we have a little melt of what the head coach had to say.
They're really athletic. It starts on the D-line. They got a bunch of guys that are stout, but they also run really well, starting with Lamar Houston. Nick Roach is playing really well, middle linebacker form, can move around really well. And I think when you got someone like Woodson on the back end that gets everybody lined up the right way, even though he's been in the league 16 years, he's playing at a really high level. So, you know, I think it starts with their athleticism. That's the first thing you kind of see on tape is that they run really well. So a lot of time long runs don't happen when everybody runs to the ball, and that's what I think the Raiders are doing right now. We work on tackling every day as a fundamental in practice. You know, and I think we got a defensive staff that teaches it really, really well. There's obviously concerns with tackling and how do you get that done without injuring other guys. But I think they've done a good job it's been since day one since we've been here. You know, they taught it during OTAs, the mechanics of it, the fundamentals of it, and how it works. That continued through training camp. And really, tackling is a fundamental deal, and it has to be practiced every day. It's no different than blocking, but it's something that we emphasize. The other thing that's always key to tackling is how many people do you get to the ball? You know, so it's not open field tackling all the time. If you get everybody that consistently runs to the football and we're swarming the ball carrier, then it makes tackling a lot easier because the guy doesn't have as many spaces to go. And I know how confident Nick is in practice, but practice and games are different things. But I think he understands how he played in the Dallas game and how he's practicing right now. He's practicing really well. So, you know, we'll see. But it's a daily basis. You know, it's sometimes that position's a lot like a golfer. You can go out 1 week and, you know, be in contention and you're leading and you have a great round. And then the next week you say, you know, the guy doesn't make the cut. And that's unfortunate. But what we need out of Nick is consistency, and he understands that. So that's what he's working for in practice right now. But everything we do, just like everything conversations we have, is on a weekly basis, depending on what the defense is doing. You know, are they a 3-4 operation and you'll feature more this? Are they a 4-3 scheme? One gap 4-3 scheme, we'll feature more of that. Do they blitz more? We'll feature more of that. When are there a man scheme? We'll feature more of that. So there's some things that we haven't done that we touch base on in preseason camp that, you know, it may come up in this game. It may come up, you know, 2 games down the road. So that's part of it. But every week, no matter what you do, you have a scope of offense but then you have a scope of offense that we're running this week. And that's kind of how we pare it down. So, you're not going into a game with 150 plays to select from. You pare it down because it's what you practice that week. So if you're a two-gap guy, whether you're two-gap at a tackle or you're two-gap at a center, it's the same process as that. Long levers are strong levers, and you want to create, you know, offensive football is body on body. Defensive football is body off body. You want to get off of blocks. You know, it's very difficult if you've got alligator arms and you're in here because you're going to get locked up. You need to get extension. You need to destroy blocks. And one of the ways to do that is to have long arms. So whether you're lined up on a tackle or whether you're lined up on a center, the mechanics of doing that doesn't change. And the ability to have length at that position helps. So it's the same thing, but it's critical for everybody across the defensive front. Bad habits are like a bed. They're easy to get into and hard to get out of. You know what I mean? You got to continually every single day set your mindset that this is what we're going to do. You know, and why are teams successful and then all of a sudden they make a run and then they can't make a run because they're late for practice.
All right, that's Chip Kelly from this morning. Now, Raiders quarterback Terrell Pryor understands that the Eagles defense really centering their attention on him after his big game against the Steelers last week. He met with Philadelphia reporters in a conference call, and this is what he had to say.
I know the offense, not to speak bad about the offense, I know they had some injuries and things like that, so it's pretty hard, you know, for an offense, for a defense, you know, just to stay on the field and fighting back, and, you know, they're helping their offense, and they're trying to get a team win together. So, you know, sometimes it happens like that, and I think they were on the field an awful lot last week, if I'm not mistaken. You know, but what comes to me is just the guys, you know, it's a group of guys that I think love football, you know, and just watching and looking at the scouting report, guys talking about, you know, how they love football and how guys are competitive over there, you know, and just looking and listening to things like that just makes you just think, you know, you can't take anything for granted and you understand this team's coming in hungry. And, you know, it's a good group and a group of guys. Anytime you face a group of guys that love football and love to play, you got to keep on playing and bring your A game. So that's what we got to do with these guys. Some people play a lot of low safeties. Some people play a lot of, you know, man-to-man spy to us. So 22-man, you know, different looks. So it's just figuring it out. Different people have different egos and think they, you know, they like to play different defenses. So I've seen a lot of different things.
All right, that is Terrell Pryor, Raiders quarterback. What about from the head coach's perspective, understanding that his defense has to match up with Chip Kelly's offense when, at its best, is dynamic, is fast, is productive, explosive? Dennis Allen, his conference call with the Philadelphia media.
I think you're going to look at games, and sometimes guys are going to play better in one game and maybe not quite as good in another game. I mean, when you look at the full body of work and when he's had an opportunity to go in there and play, he's been pretty successful. He's been able to move the team and generate some offense. You know, obviously, you know, the Dallas game wasn't probably the best performance that they could put forward, but this is still a very explosive offense, and whether it be Michael Vick in there, quarterback, whether it be Nick Foles in there, quarterback, I mean, both those guys have been able to move the football team and score some points. Communication is at a at the utmost of importance. That's one of the hardest things that they do, and then they try to spread you out, and they try to get playmakers in space. I think they've done a great job of being able to do that. You know, they're still fifth in the league in total offense. They set an NFL record going through the first 6 weeks of the season as far as offense is concerned. So I mean, this is a very high powered, explosive offense.
All right, there you go. That is the perspective from the Oakland Raiders. Now, we've got Nick Foles coming your way at about 1:50 live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And our game day coverage begins with a run of our Eagles Television Network lineup. That starts at 2 o'clock Philadelphia time. And then, of course, we're back with Eagles Live at noon on Monday. The day after press conference, Chip Kelly, at least that's the schedule now, going to be in very late Sunday night, early on Monday morning. So make sure you're with us every step of the way. Eagles going out to Oakland to get themselves another road win. I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.